welcome y'all. 97.5 The Fanatic, 11:04 on this Wednesday night. First in the post of the regular season as the Sixers pick up a win on the road in New Orleans, 117-97. I'm Devon Givens with you until midnight. We'll take your phone calls as always. Always fun to talk after a Sixers win, a Sixers game in general, but makes it much easier when there's a win. And the way that they did it in dramatic fashion in the fourth quarter with 36 points, hanging that on the Pelicans. But Furkan Korkmaz just simply going off. Well, he was perfect from deep, 4 of 4, finishing with 18 points on the quarter and 20 overall in the game, 22 overall in the game. Really good showing by Furkan Korkmaz, and you love to see it on the road too. It's the crowd is already basically taken out of the game. They're rolling the way that they're rolling. He has a heat check shot where he pulls up from the left hash, basically in transition as he has the ball in his hands, drills that one, and it looked good leaving his hands. And he didn't even worry about it because of how well he was shooting. There's always a heat check. It was great to see that from Furkan Korkmaz and the bench, as we mentioned. 45 points for the bench tonight to the Pelicans, 17 off the bench for them. Obviously, 22 from Furkan Korkmaz makes that a lopsided win for the 76ers in that category. But you listened here on the Fanatic. You heard how it all played out. A really good showing by the second unit. And look, early on where, yes, George Niang got going for the second unit in that second quarter where he had, for the 76ers, 6 points, two each from Thybul, Drummond, and Korkmaz, but they gave up 28 points where they really didn't do a good job against the starters who remained out there at that point. And with them doing so, they put up 28, 24 the Sixers had. They tied the score up at 53, and they made it a ball game. But the Sixers defense came out in the third quarter, in the second half, out of the locker room. You heard Doc Rivers speak about it, where he mentioned that they weren't doing enough defensively to stop the team. And it's exactly what they did in that third quarter, only giving up 17 points. And in that third quarter alone, the Pelicans shot 28.6%. 28.6% on 6 of 21 shooting. And they had some good looks, but they also had those looks where the 76ers were in their jerseys the entire time as they tried to make sure that they made it difficult for them. Brandon Ingram, 2 of 7. Jonas Valanciunas, 0 for 5. He was 0 for 5 from the floor. 2 of 4 for Alexander Walker and Devontae Graham each. And you saw how Alexander Walker was playing early on in the first half, where he did drop 14 on the 76ers. So they slowed him down in the third quarter, didn't let him get off. And as a result, the Sixers then turned it up. 8 each for Harrison and Embiid, 7 for Maxey, 5 for Curry. Nothing off the bench, but the starters did their job, giving them that 11-point lead. And again, I tip my hat to Tobias Harris for the job that he did. Not only did he score the 8 points, but grabbing the 6 boards. And he typically does that. As I said to Tom McGinnis during the postgame show here on 97.5 The Fanatic, he typically does that when either Embiid or Simmons are not in the lineup. And he did it again. And I would call it for what it is. We talk about it all the time and tell you what DraftKings Sportsbook is. And DraftKings Sportsbook, I went right to it and said, oh yeah, he's going to rebound the ball tonight because there is no Ben Simmons. Someone's going to help to pick up the slack. Now, I didn't expect, even though he is a rebounding machine, Andre Drummond to have 17 boards in 19 minutes for the squad. But I did expect Tobias Harris to help out on the glass for Joel Embiid with that first unit. I absolutely did, and that's exactly what happened for the Philadelphia 76ers tonight in their 20-point victory, 117-97 over the New Orleans Pelicans tonight in New Orleans. Great showing, great start by your basketball team. Next up, those Brooklyn Nets come to town where we finally have an opportunity to take a peek at the Brooklyn Nets. No Kyrie Irving, we already know about that. That said, we still get a chance to see, guess who? Yes, we still get a chance to see Kevin Durant and James Harden. I'm excited to see this team go up against them. Now, it would be much, much better to see them out there full strength Kyrie Irving, Ben Simmons, both out there. But I think at this point, we already understand where things are with both of those players and the organizations and how they are handling the situations at the top two stories in National Basketball Association. But with that said, the games must go on, and the games will go on as we will be broadcasting live the Draft Line Show, Jamie Lynch and myself, from 6 p.m. until 7:15 as we gear up for the game season opener for the home schedule at the center against the Brooklyn Nets, and that will be on Friday night right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. We'll get to Tyler Zuli in just a bit, get his thoughts on the game, get his thoughts overall. The one thing that I will say about this team tonight, I mentioned the fact that they had, let me see, what did I say, 24? They had 24 total team assists on 44 made baskets. But after they came out of the locker room, it seemed like they were more in sync. Danny Green played 18 minutes and 35 seconds, only took one shot. One three-pointer, did not make it. He did nothing else. He got into foul trouble early. Nothing for Danny Green while on the floor. Defensively, he was okay, but he wasn't out there long enough to really gauge Danny Green and what he helped out with in a positive way there. They started playing, and they seemed like they were having a good time after they came out the locker room. Again, the 28-17 defensive performance that they had in the third quarter. They shot 58% from the floor on 19 shots, 11 makes. They struggled from deep, 2 of 7. But they were very efficient from the interior as they went 9 for 12 from the field, minus that 2 of 7 from the three-point line. Getting to the free throw line 4 times, making them all. A big rebounding advantage, 14 to 7. No offensive rebounds for the New Orleans Pelicans. Missed shot, rebound, go the other way for the Philadelphia 76ers. That's exactly what they did in that third quarter. Cannot stress it enough of how much the defense really stepped up for them in that moment coming out of the locker room. Great job. Great job. Now look, in that second quarter when the reserves came in and Doc Rivers had the all-reserves unit in, I was scratching my head a little bit, I'll be honest, because I'm like, typically, I like when they have one or two guys on the floor with them. I'm cool with going 10 deep, but I want a starter out there. I want two starters out there. I know it's different. Danny Green not playing well, getting in foul trouble, and then Ben Simmons not being there. So what? All you can do is do what you do. And that's what Doc Rivers decided to do, was go for that all-bench unit and finish things out try to make a run, try to get them out there, and as he pointed out, prepare them for this as the season goes along. The Pelicans made a run. One thing that we also like to say a lot here on the show, basketball is a game of runs. The Pelicans were going to make their run. The Sixers made theirs later in the third quarter with a 22-8 run in the final 8-plus minutes of the quarter. That then led right into the fourth quarter where Furkan Korkmaz got going. And then the Sixers did what they needed to do. Defensively, they shut down Nickeil Alexander-Walker defensively, and Brandon Ingram picked it up a little bit, but the offense was too much with the Sixers defense overall. Really good performance in the second half. They pick up their first victory of the season. Joel Embiid was phenomenal. Again, didn't have to do too much. He was 8 of 17, 22.6 boards, one block shot, only one turnover, and he saw a lot of double teams tonight, even with Jonas Valanciunas out there. I thought he got tired. Doc Rivers left him out there at the end. Look, he played in the first quarter 9 minutes and 3 seconds. Second quarter, 7 minutes and 19 seconds. First half overall in the time that he was out there, 16:22. So 24 minutes he could have played. He played 16:22. In the third quarter, you saw that he was missing a little short, 9 minutes and 20 seconds. So for all the people who wanted him to hit like 27, 30, get 40 tonight on the Pelicans, you could see that the fatigue started to set in a little bit for Joel Embiid. But eventually they didn't need it. And he had 22, 6 boards, picked up a really good win for this team tonight again, 117-97. Really good shooting, 52% from the floor overall, rounding it out from 51.8, 52 from deep, 80% from the free throw line, hot shooting in general, only 13 turnovers, giving up 9 points off their turnovers. Really good performance by this team. Furkan Korkmaz, solid tonight off the bench. No, I'm not even going to disrespect him like that and say solid. He was really, really good in the second half with how he got going. Scoring at one point 14 of the 17 points to start off the fourth quarter. Huh? The other three was from George Niang. That was the 17 points. He had four threes in that time, 14 of 17 for Furkan Korkmaz. So let's get your thoughts. We're in the post for the first time. Sixers regular season. They win by 20, 117-97. The phone number 610-632-0975. We're running with you until midnight. So happy that basketball is back. We had the Sixers win. We had a double overtime game in the Atlantic Division with the Boston Celtics and the New York Knicks. That was fun. You saw the Milwaukee and Brooklyn game on Tuesday. Tremendous. Right now, you got the West Coast games going on, a doubleheader that we have on the television here in the studios. Basketball is back. It's beautiful. Big game at home on Friday night. It's beautiful. We thank the schedule makers for making it Friday night against the Brooklyn Nets to start off the home schedule for the Philadelphia 76ers. That place, full capacity. I know it. It's going to be rocking in there. You know you're going to make a difference. Cannot wait to be in that building on Friday night. We'll be broadcasting there again. Draft Line Show. Jamie Lynch, myself, brought to you by DraftKings from the center. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Baltimore. Start off with Anthony tipping us off. First time this season in the post here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ant, what's going on?
Vaughn, I was just saying to myself, I never get to set it off on your show, so let me fight tonight with you.
You do it tonight, man, and we thank you for checking in.
Yes, sir. So I want to give you my hopes for the Sixers this season, a couple possible trade scenarios for Simmons, and I just want to say first, Devine, A++ for your post game. With the Tom McGinnis call, you was on beat, on point.
Thank you.
As soon as he finished what he was saying, you were right there. And pressing the buttons at the right time, you're killing it.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it. I'm doing it all season long. I'm thrilled taking over for my man. I'm going to miss him. But, I learned a lot from him. And I'm just going to try to do what I can for the whole entire season.
Yeah, I met you at the second Fan Fest, and we was kicking it for
Absolutely.
A while.
Yep.
Hey, man, I've been listening to you from the start. But anyway, let me get to my hopes for the Sixers this year. Of course, we all want the championship. We all want the chip. It's going to be tough with them damn Bucks. We're just going to have to hope we stay healthy.
They looked good last night.
I know it, but so do we tonight. But we know that we was playing a weaker squad, but it's all right because I think that we got some trade possibilities coming up. With the way Simmons is acting right now, he needs his diaper changed. So I'm saying we send Simmons and Danny Green. Like you said, Danny Green ain't do nothing but play a little D tonight. Send Simmons, Danny Green, a pick, and cash considerations, and try to get a max player. Some team is going to need a few pieces to know they can compete. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so I think what we'll see, Anthony, is as the season goes along and teams start to figure out what they have and what they don't have, that's when they might look at their situation, their roster, and say, you know what? Maybe we'll take a chance on Ben Simmons and we'll offer this. So we can subtract what we're giving away. But in that moment, we'll send those players there, but we bring in Simmons. And I think that's how it's going to go for for whatever team that the Sixers eventually deal with as they see what they have and make a decision to make a push for Simmons or not.
Okay, and only because it was the first game of the year, and I didn't get to see it because I was working, but I was trying to listen to McGinnis as much as I could because, he's right up there for me. Him and Kevin Harlan, their voices – they're the only two in sports radio or broadcasting that get me excited and hyped. I'd be sitting at work just getting loud because of them. You know what I mean? Like, if you could get those two together on a game, because I love when Kevin Harlan does Philly games, just like you do a great job, them two, I think, are the best in the industry.
Thank you, Ant. Appreciate it, man. We'll talk soon. Long season, and we have a lot to talk about. Thanks, man.
All right, Devon.
You got it, man. 610-632-0975. Let's keep it moving. We got a lot of people want to talk about the effort tonight from the team, specifically some individuals. And I know Sean and Artmore wants to talk about one. He was great tonight. Sean, welcome in the post.
Hey, man, always. I've been calling you three or four years now, just talking up Furkan, man. And he just gets better and better, man. I told you, I said that he was like a mini Ginobili.
You did say that? You said that the other day, yeah.
And he's, you know, he just needs to be able to get out there and play. And if you watched him through his career, you know, over in the EuroLeague, this is the kind of stuff he was doing over there. And he's got his body built up. He's got a coach now that has given him the green light and is not afraid to put him in different positions. And the young man, he can just ball, you know, and I love to see it. I'm glad the fans, he's a Sixer, you know what I'm saying, from the beginning and just growing. And I'm glad the fans are able to see that.
No, he looked really good, man. Early on, he did struggle. Did not look like he had it. Also, there was some ball pressure when he was handling the basketball as the backup point guard. And they started to pressure him a little bit. And that's the right thing to do. Test him. Yep. See if he's going to fold under that pressure. And he did early, but he got it together. And I thought Doc Rivers did the right thing, too, where he had him out there with others where he didn't have to handle it as much. But he was fantastic with the shooting that he had. Look, we know he's a shooter. And that's the thing about him. He continues to work and work and work. He talks about it all the time, just focusing on the catch and shoot, the coming around the curl, the pull up in transition. When he and I spoke at Media Day and we sat down, he said he worked a lot on the pull up transition, and you saw that tonight a few times, and he shot the lights out. And all we can do is take our hats off to him tonight.
He's just grown as a player right before our eyes, and I love it. Thanks, man.
No, you got it, Sean. Really appreciate it. And again, look, I'm not going to go as far as calling him Manu Ginobili. Manu Ginobili is a Hall of Famer, an all-time great. I haven't seen the entire list, but I'd imagine that he's one of the... he's a Hall of Famer. He's a Hall of Famer. Furkan Korkmaz is not that. He has flair to his game. He's been playing pro ball since his teenage years, and we know he can shoot. We still need more from him. Tonight, really good start. You get that production off the bench. Isaiah Joe... where we saw him successful in the preseason, you know, he had a tough night tonight, and he took a hard spill, and maybe that got to him a little bit as well. But overall, Isaiah Joe, it's going to take him some time. We'll see when he gets there. He'll get there tonight, not his night. He'll have his. Tonight it was Furkan Korkmaz's night off the bench. Tyrese Maxey, we'll get to Keith to talk about that as well. And so many others. Six players in double figures. Sixers win by 21, 17, 97. We're in the post until midnight. 610-632-0975. I am Devon Givens with you until midnight. Tyler Zuli is behind the glass. We'll get his thoughts on what he saw and heard tonight here on the Fanatic in the victory. Again, 117-97 right here in the post. 97.5 the Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
What's up, Philly? This is Tyrese Maxey of the Philadelphia 76ers. Now it's time to go in the post with Devon Givens on your home for 76ers basketball, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Thank you, Tyrese. Really appreciate it. Great effort by you tonight, leading the team as the point guard. 20 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, and only 1 turnover on the night. Starting off his 21-22 season as a starter for the Philadelphia 76ers. Going to be a good test for him on Friday against the Brooklyn Nets. There's no Kyrie Irving, though. So, James Harden, that's going to be a tough matchup, but maybe take advantage of him offensively where you can get him defensively in that game. 610-632-0975. Tyler Zuli behind the glass. Get his thoughts here. You know what, Ty, before we get to Joe quickly, I just want to get your thoughts on the game. Sixers win by 20. You heard it all right here on the Fanatic. Tom McGinnis on the game call. Great stuff. You doing a great job, as always, engineering the game. A big win on the road to start things off the right way.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good win, and it's a win that's expected, right? You are expected, even without Ben Simmons, to go to New Orleans and beat a team that you're better than, even with or without Zion Williamson. But it's still a good start to the season, because really the only negative outcome is, or the only outcome that we'd like really be harping on, is they lose this game and you go, what the heck? Is this how this is going to go this year? And it was a close game. It was tied at halftime. And, you look at the line, right? The line shrunk to, I think, 2.5 at halftime.
Oh, okay.
And I went, Vegas doesn't feel comfortable about the Sixers right now.
I mean, look, the momentum has shifted. They tied it up.
Well, right. And obviously that 12-point lead, and they tied it up, and all of a sudden it was like, oh, here we go again, reminiscent of blown leads of past, right? But I felt comfortable about the way that the Sixers were playing, you know, that this they were going to separate themselves at some point from New Orleans. I didn't think it would be a 20-point victory, but I felt that they would feel comfortable down the stretch, 8-10 points, just because they were the better team. So I'm glad that they did what they needed to do. They came out, they took care of business. They played, like you said, really well defensively in the third. Furkan Korkmaz was terrific in the fourth quarter. And, you know, you did what you had to do against the team that you're better than.
Yep, absolutely. And that's exactly what they did. Big matchup again coming up on Friday at the Center. 610-632-0975. Welcome in the post tonight, Joe in Harleysville on 97.5. Hey, Joe.
First of all, I want to say it is a pleasure to speak with you as always and just listen to you. You are the king of basketball and Dee is the queen. and I want to congratulate your cousin for a tremendously well-deserved contract. And
thank you.
As far as the Sixers go, I want to look at it from a higher level. Doc Rivers said today, this team is focused. He was concentrating on the players that wanted to play. This kid, Tyrese, although he did a great job tonight, I think he'd be better off the bench at some point. He is a spark plug. He plays with zero fear. And all I can ask for as a consumer is you give me your best effort.
Right.
You know?
Right. That's all you can ask for.
I will let the chips fall where they may. Friday night, I'm a realist. We're going against a highly talented team. Tyrese may not be the same thing, but I do know he plays with no fear.
Right. He will not back down from a challenge.
No. And I tell you, I love when he gets up under that basket. He is not afraid to bang. He's not afraid to bang. He's not afraid of none. And the thing that I also saw tonight is everybody shoots the ball. It's not all on Joel. Let me tell you something, Joe. And to talk about JoJo, that is a competitor.
Yeah, yeah. He played well tonight. Took a couple of hits. Felt like, again, it's like, oh, man, he's on the floor again. Here we go. And
you know what?
He got up and he kept going.
And he leads by example. That's the leader. That is a leader who leads by example. He takes no crap. You know? And he calls it out like he sees it. And all I can say is I am absolutely thrilled with the Sixers this year so far. I watched the summer league. It was great. And I look forward to, hey, I'm a realist. We may not finish 2, 3, 4. But you know what? I know it's a better effort that we're going to get this year than we got last year.
I hear you. Listen, Joe, great stuff, man. Good to hear from you. And thank you for the kind words for both what we do here and, of course, for Mikhail. We really appreciate it. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Joe. 610-632-0975. Tyrese Maxey, again, a phenomenal performance. We're about to talk to Keith about it. Curious to see what he has to say about it. When Joe spoke of the balance as far as the shooting goes for the Sixers, Joel Embiid led the team with 17. But next up, Tobias Harris, 16. Maxey, 14. Korkmaz, 11. Then you go 5-5. 4 for Drummond. 3 each for Thybulle and Joe. And then Bassey, 2. Green, 1. Aaron Henry, 1. Nothing for Jaden Springer in his debut, the first-round draft pick for the Philadelphia 76ers. So they did share the ball, and again, they shot very efficiently. 52% from behind the three-point line, 13 of 25. 51.8, I round that off. They shot 52% from the floor all around. Field goals and three-pointers. Really good performance tonight by the 76ers. 610-632-0975. We're in the post until midnight here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Obviously aided by that fourth quarter, which was, you know, very strong from the bench. And I got to be honest, the one guy that I was the most impressed with, I thought, we talked about him a little bit in the post or in the offseason, and the acquisition was
Ji Niang.
Not huge, but it was substantial to help the bench, was George Niang. I thought he was in the right spot every single time that he was called upon. And I'm not quite sure what his role is going to be entirely throughout the whole season. But I know tonight his role was to catch and shoot, and he did that well. And it's just another added addition to a team that for years has desperately needed shooting to create some separation and create some space for themselves. And I think that for the first time in a long time, they have it, and it's not just Korkmaz.
Here's what it is with him. IQ and shooting. He is not the best leaper. He is not the fastest runner. He's not going to sprint up and down the floor like Tyrese Maxey. But he knows where to be. He knows when to get his shots off. And he is a smart basketball player. And we'll see that as it evolves. And all I could think of, as much as, you know, Mike Scott had his hive and all that stuff, I know people were like, wow, this is a better version of Mike Scott. You know, defensively, we don't know yet, but offensively, you feel good about him putting the ball on the floor. Very cerebral is what I'll say about his game as well. Not an old man game, but knows how to get to his spots. Footwork is fantastic. Soft touch when he gets in there. Watch when he starts. I think he hit one tonight early on. Little floater, teardrop. That's in his bag. He does that as well as shoot from the perimeter.
Well, and you mentioned you said not old man game, right? And it's funny that you bring that up because somebody that did, in fact, have an old man game was Tim Duncan. And I was watching some videos on Tim Duncan earlier today, and it was talking about Tim Duncan and footwork and release point and things like that. And if you ever go back and watch Tim Duncan play, he's got this incredibly high release point. And at 7 foot, it's already a high release point as it is. But it's like way extended. There's no chance of that shot getting blocked from the elbow, from the wing, from the corner, whatever it might be at the low block, and him going with a little fade, you know, turnaround fade.
Mm-hmm.
Niang is obviously, that's not comparing the two game wise. But what I'm saying, what I do want to compare to is if he can have that high release point, if he can consistently get to his spots and have that high release point, he's going to be a difficult catch and shoot guy to defend. Because he does shoot at a high, high percentage, or can shoot at a high percentage, and if he does have the spacing in the right, being in the right spots, it's an improvement over a Mike Scott or over a Bellinelli and Ilyasova. I think, just in that particular aspect of the game.
Got you, man. 610-632-0975. We're in the post next with Keith in the Northeast. Keith,
hello.
Hey, Keith, how you doing?
Hey, what's up, man? Devon, you're doing a great job. Thanks for bringing me on, man.
Oh, appreciate you, man. Thank you.
Yeah, I want to talk about real quick what you observed about the balance of how things are going on without that man who does not go mentioned at this point. But
yeah.
From what I saw, we almost became a team that they don't know how to guard just yet. You know, so for one guy who crashes in the middle and they know they can't guard him outside, wanted to see if you saw the same thing I did, that you know, the whole defense on their part, they have to restructure and figure it out when we have a point guard who could hit from any spot. And you mentioned our field goals were way up. The coaching has been amazing, you know, Embiid only getting 22 points, but also he didn't gas himself out. He's ready to go against the Nets. I wanted to get your observation on the overall, like, the balance of what we've done without that man who does not go mentioned.
Well, I mean, look, one game and we saw it, and early on, after two, maybe we wouldn't feel like that, but there are four quarters and two halves, and you saw the adjustment that was made and how they went about it, the hot shooting from Korkmaz later. But you're right, the fact that they had to defend Maxey out there and the angles that he takes, similar to what 25 does, where he gets some really good angles too when he decides to be aggressive and look for his, and he's able to get his shot off. But Maxey does it in a different way with his speed, his change of pace as a smaller body versus a bigger body. Very difficult for them to defend, both of them. You know, they're both
right.
Good in their own right in that way. But to have that, yes, and you saw he knocked down that one where the ball found him on the right wing,
yeah,
for that three-pointer. Didn't hesitate.
Late.
Caught it, shot it, and that was it.
Yeah, and on top of that, I was at that preseason game against the Nets. And the fire in Korkmaz's eyes. I said to my kids, I said, that guy is going off this season. Even before the first game, I said, that dude is going off. And tonight, and hopefully for the rest of the season, he keeps that fire in his eyes, because I saw something I never saw. I mean, I've always loved him, but
yeah, I was curious to see how that was. You know, when he did that, it's like, okay, he has these types of games. He had it tonight. Yeah. And oftentimes when we do see it, Keith, we see it at home and not on the road. He did it on the road, which was good. And look, it's New Orleans. They only had, I think I have the number right here. They had 12,845 at the Smoothie King Center. That's not a big number, but it's still on the road. They made their push in the second half, and they made it difficult for the Sixers, and they responded. For him to do what he did and Maxey to play the way that he played, you like to see the young players have success in game one. There are a lot of good things to check off on the checklist from what we saw tonight.
Yep. Thanks for having me on, man.
Keith, thank you, man. Good to hear from you. We'll talk to you throughout the season, man. Thanks.
Oh.
You got it, man. Yeah. That's just how it is. That's just how it is. Game one. Not going to overreact. I know we had a caller earlier, Ty. I don't know what he said to you, what he couldn't stay on, that he wasn't impressed with the win tonight.
Yeah, he basically was saying, you know, it was an undermanned, depleted New Orleans team. And
they were better anyway. They were better than them anyway. If Simmons is on the floor with them and Zion is playing, they're still a better basketball team.
Well, sure. I mean, you match up one for one.
So we can do
that.
But they're still a better basketball team. That's why they were a favorite on the road. Now, it was ridiculous that they were only a 3-point favorite, but, you know, it's okay. It's okay.
Was it, do you think that being said, that 3-point favorite, overreaction to no Simmons? Or
I just think it was more based on game one of the season. Yeah, game one of the season on the road. We don't know. You know what I'm saying? We don't know. So let's give it a shot and see what we don't know, and we'll figure it out going forward.
Because I mean,
first half,
you're right.
It looked like they were on point.
It was thin. It was thin on the road, and you're right. First half it was a tie ball game. Like we said, it dropped from 3 to 2.5. But I felt. I don't know how you felt, but I totally felt confident heading into the second half, which is strange for this team in particular, because we've seen them blow leads in big spots. And this isn't really technically a big spot, so I don't know how much it actually meant to them. They came out and they played well in the second half.
Absolutely. 610-632-0975. Not to be lost in all of this tonight with the Philadelphia 76ers tonight in the National Hockey League. The local team, they were also playing in South Philadelphia at the center. The Flyers, a 6-3 victory over the Boston Bruins. That's two in a row for the Philadelphia Flyers, beating the Kraken on Monday, coming back on Wednesday at home to beat the Bruins 6-3. Carter Hart, he faced 24 shots tonight. No, pardon me. Jones faced, Carter Hart was out.
Yeah, Martin Jones played.
Martin Jones faced 40 shots tonight. 3 goals, 37 saves. Man, they were coming at him.
Listen, man, 40 shots on net by that
team.
They
were coming
at him. That Bruins team is going to net goals. The fact that it was only 3 is not awful.
And you got the win.
And by the way,
pretty good.
Jake Voracek, who? Cam Atkinson, 2 goals tonight.
2 goals.
Playing well so far.
Yeah, he is. He really is. So 2 goals from Cam Atkinson. Tonight, you also had Joel Farabee on the power play, Scott Laughton.
That's Tyrone's guy.
Yeah, Travis Konechny, Sean Couturier on the power play. I don't know if that was an empty netter, but it was with 19:01 left on there. So you figured there were 59 seconds in the game to play. So I'd assume that there was an empty netter there. Sean Couturier getting the power play goal for the Flyers. They win tonight 6-3 as we go in the post. Little in the crease right there, Flyers win. One more game at home to start off their 4-game homestand to start off the season, and then they hit the road for their first road game. Adam in Germantown joining us next here in the post. Adam.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I'll be quick, Devon.
Thank you, man.
Andrew, you there? Are you with Andrew?
No, I'm with Tyler.
Tyler, I apologize. Sorry, Tyler. Anyway, all I was going to say was the Sixers played fine. Their starters, I see where they miss Simmons. You know, he ups the speed of the game. He makes Danny Green a better defender. Like he ups
sure.
the speed. He ups the rebounds. He ups the transition three opportunities. I mean, Drummond played fantastic on the boards, and without
17 boards in 19 minutes off the bench.
And what can you say that I would be concerned about between Embiid and Drummond? I'll say it. I don't think either one of them are going to last. And I'm sorry, but Embiid looks like he's playing on one leg, and he's still dominating.
Well, he always looks like that.
But Andre Drummond, I just don't know if he can, like, between the two of them, let's say they miss 30 or 40 games. I mean, Furkan Korkmaz played fantastic, but he plays a different role. Like, he's got to replace Milton off the bench. I mean, he's got to replace Milton's role.
Well, here's what I'll say. Both of them are two inconsistent players, so it's just a matter of which one gets hot and where the coach feels comfortable.
I don't think you can go with that because Korkmaz is just, you're going to have to count on him and Drummond to be like kind of an Embiid and J.J. Redick. You're going to have to count on like the Sixers to shoot the ball really well and not let the other team go crazy if they go cold on the offensive glass. And you got to count on Embiid and Drummond to keep playing. Those three things are a lot to count on. I understand you could say, well, you got to count on Korkmaz to hit his shot. Off the dribble, he seems like he's going to hit his shot. Drummond has a good feel for the game. He's got a nice handoff to him. He did it well. But I'm going to say this. The Sixers really need Embiid and Drummond to stay on the floor because they are one thing that they are definitely not, that they weren't last year. They're much slower.
Got you. No. Listen, man, and again, it's the reason why we're not overreacting because it's one game. We're not going to overreact on the other end because there's one game. Troy's going to close us out tonight in the post. We appreciate you, Adam. What's up, Troy? Welcome in the post.
What's up, Devon?
What's going on?
I'm good, man. First time caller, long time listener.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, I want to talk about how I think the Sixers will be affected from Ben not playing. I think the person who had the biggest effect on his game is Danny Green, who had 0 points tonight, even though he was in foul trouble. But off Ben gets him for that corner three a lot in the fast break.
He does.
Was lacking tonight. Mm-hmm. But I thought Korkmaz would be affected a little bit too, for like the same type of way, but clearly he wasn't, because Korkmaz, he got a better handle than I thought he did. Like he can play off.
He can. Yeah, he can.
He can spot up. He can hit the three off the pick and roll. So I think he played well.
He really did. And I think something that they may look at in film, Troy, to see where maybe they missed some of those shots to Danny Green, like you're talking about the passing angles, where Tyrese Maxey is more looking for the score versus Simmons looking for the pass. And sometimes, look, don't we want Simmons to be selfish and look for that his own shot versus passing?
Right, exactly.
So it's a balance. We want Maxey to do more of what Simmons does. We want Simmons to do more of what Maxey does, right?
Right,
so
exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Listen, man, we're up against it. But look, call back tomorrow if you can. We'll talk this out a little bit longer, give you more time. Troy, have a great night, man. Thank you.
All right, appreciate it. Go Birds.
You got it, man. Absolutely. Tyler Zuli, great work, man. Thank you to you, Dan, Dylan, and Mike. Thanks to all the callers, all the listeners, Tom McGinnis as well. We really appreciate everybody for what you did tonight. Sixers win 117-97 to start off the 21-22 campaign, defeating the New Orleans Pelicans on this Wednesday night. Friday, home opener at the center. We'll talk to you then. Good night.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.